The Senate will come to order. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I impose a call of the Senate.
The Senate is now under call. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and that the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Members, if you be so kind as to stand. In our tradition, we are going to say prayer, and following prayer, there will be the Pledge of Allegiance. But I'm proud to say that today's chaplain is Reverend Dr. Patrick Shabek from St. Paul Reformation Lutheran Church in St. Paul. And as a kind, a gentle reminder, after the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Thank you, members. The secretary will take the roll.
Abler, Anderson, Barr, Bolden, Carlson, Champion, Coleman, Swadzinski, Dames, Dibble, Dornick, Dreheim, Drazkowski, Duckworth, Dietzick, Eichhorn, Farnsworth, Fattay, Frentz, Green, Grunhagen, Gustafson, Hochschild, Herr, Hoffman, Housley, Howe, Jasinski, Johnson, Klein, Coran, Kroon, Kunisch, Kupek, Lang, Latz, Liskey, Limmer, Lucero, Mann, Marty, Matthews, May Quaid, McEwen, Miller, Mitchell, Mohammed, Morrison, Murphy, Nelson, Umover, Baton, Pappas, Pa, Port, Pratt, Putnam, Rarick, Rasmussen, Rest, Seeberger, Utke, Weber, Wiesenberg, Westland, Westrom, Wickland, Zhang.
Members, a quorum is present. The following members intend to vote from a remote location pursuant to Rule 40.7. Senator Anderson, Senator Coleman, Senator Dietzick, Senator Lang, and Senator Port. Members, in our tradition, if you want to follow along, I am reading from our Senate agenda, which is dated Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. We will begin at the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the first message.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 3492, a bill for an act relating to housing. Senate file number 3492 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Muhammad, for your motion.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House Senate file 3492 and that conference committee of three members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed to the part of the House.
Thank you, Senator Muhammad. Senator Muhammad moves that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate file number 3492. And that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House. On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Did I hear division? Division has been requested. Any other questions? If none, all in favor of the motion, please stand. Members, make sure that you're at your desk. And remember, this is a motion to not concur with the House for conference committee. We're waiting because there's one additional member who is making her way to the chambers. All right, if you all will have a seat, we will now go to the nays. Those who are opposed, please stand. If you're not with the nays, please have a seat. Members, there have been 30 ayes and 29 nays. The motion prevails. The Secretary will read the next message.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of five members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file. Senate file number 4097, a bill for an act relating to commerce. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Stevenson, Kutaisi-Watoon, Kraft, Chaw, and O'Driscoll. Senate file number 4097 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Members, there's no action required. The Secretary will read the next message.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of three members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file. Senate file number 4399, a bill for an act relating to human services. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Fisher, Frederick, and Baker. Senate file number 4399 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Again, members, no action is required. The Secretary will read the next message.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House file number 4772. House file number 4772, a bill for an act relating to elections. The House respectfully requests that a conference committee of three members be appointed thereon. Freiberg, Greenman, and Vernig have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House file number 4772 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with a request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Murphy for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move to lay House file 4772 on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Members, the Secretary will read the next message.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted. House file number 4757. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Members, there is no action required. We will now proceed to the fourth order of business, which is the first reading of House bills. The House files have been given its first reading and referred as indicated. Members, we will now proceed to the fifth order of business, report of committees. Senator Murphy for a motion to adopt the committee reports.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the committee reports printed on the agenda adopted, with the exception of reports pertaining to Joint Rule 2.03.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Members, give me one moment. Members, we will now proceed to the sixth order of business, which is the second reading of Senate bills. The Secretary will read the Senate file numbers.
Senate file numbers 4312, 5153, 4483, and 4942.
The Senate files have been given their second reading. Members, we will now proceed to the seventh order of business, which is the second reading of House bills. The Secretary will read the House file number.
House file number 4310.
The House file has been given its second reading. Members will now proceed to the eighth order of business, which is the introduction of first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated. We'll now proceed to the ninth order of business, which is motions and resolutions.
Mr. President?
Let's see. Oh, yes.
For what purpose
do you rise?
To make a motion, Mr. President?
State your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pursuant to Article 4, Section 7 of the Constitution of the State of Minnesota, I move the Rules Committee be compelled by the Senate to immediately initiate due process proceedings requested in the ethics complaint filed April 24, 2024, in accordance with Senate Rule 55 and Section 562 of Mason's Manual of Procedure to consider expelling Senator Nicole Mitchell from the Minnesota Senate. Mr. President, senators must be held to the highest standard of ethical conduct. Public trust has been violated. We must have a swift examination of this serious felony charge to ensure integrity of this institution and the state of Minnesota is upheld. And Mr. President, I ask for a roll call vote.
Roll call requested, roll call granted. Any discussion on the motion? Senator Friends.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, members. Thank you, Senator Lucero. Members, I ask you to vote no on this motion. Our country is founded on due process. Due process allows us to talk about basic concepts like fairness, the right way to do things and the wrong way, and giving the presumption of innocence. This legislature has seen members charged with crimes over the last few years with varying results, but included among those, fifth-degree assault, conspiracy to embezzle. By my count, 5 driving under the influences just in the last 5 years. We've afforded members the opportunity to proceed through the criminal process. A member of this body was taken to court over a criminal charge and was acquitted when he was provided the opportunity to be heard, to present his witnesses, to cross-examine those witnesses against him, and to make the arguments of his innocence. Members, we better ask ourselves, what do we think of a motion to expel a Minnesota State Senator? What does that say about the people who are represented by that senator? To my knowledge, no member of the Minnesota Senate has ever been expelled. We have a process with ethical complaints that allow the Rules Committee, and in particular the Subcommittee on Ethics, to fairly and reasonably respond to any ethics filing. With that, members, I think the proper moment for us is to vote no and protect the integrity of the processes in the Senate and the state of Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Letts.
Mr. President, I join Senator Friends in encouraging a no vote on this motion. It is true that this country was founded on due process. That was one of the reasons why the American Revolution was fought, to get out from the royal authoritarian decrees from the King of England. But even in fact, due process concept goes further back to the Magna Carta in historic England as well. And we incorporated and enshrined it into the United States Constitution, including the right to a hearing, the right to an attorney in those proceedings, the right to present evidence, the right to question and cross-examine the evidence presented by the accusing party, the right to choose to testify in one's own defense, or the right to choose not to testify and to not have that silence used as a sign or impression or to give an implication that the accused is guilty. The right not to have that silence taken as an adverse inference. And the right to have an independent fact finder make those decisions. Now, we are not exactly a court of law, but that right to due process is enshrined in the Minnesota Constitution. It is enshrined in our own Senate rules, and it is enshrined and in our custom and usage in the Senate. Without it, we become an authoritarian body. Without it, we become, and with this proposal, the senator who made the motion is proposing that we become the judge, the jury, and the executioner, without giving an accused even the opportunity to respond in this forum to the allegations that have been made. It is unbecoming, I would suggest, of the members of the Senate to rush to judgment without an opportunity to be heard, without these formal processes based solely on allegations found in a document written by the state and in the media's reporting of what is going on. This is not the process that we would want for our own family member or for our own caucus member. It is not the process we should want for any of our colleagues. It would be a complete abdication of the principles of our United States, of this state, and of this body. I urge a no vote.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I impose a call of the Senate.
The Senate is now under call. Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, for the benefit of the body and its membership and the discussion at hand, I'm going to read for you from Mason, section 562, the right of legislatures to expel members. And it talks about the fact that actually Senator Lucero's motion speeds us as a body toward and into a robust process of due process. Section 562, 45 constitutions provide that each house with a concurrence of two-thirds of all the members elected may expel a member. If these constitutional provisions were omitted and there were no other constitutional limitations, the power to expel would nevertheless exist and could be exercised by a majority. The only effect of the constitutional provisions is to make the concurrence of two-thirds of the members elected necessary to expel a member. In all other respects, the power is absolute. A House, in passing upon the question of expelling a member, has the power to adopt any procedure and to change it at any time and without notice. Adequate notice, formal charges, and a public hearing with the right to cross-examine witnesses have been held to be necessary components of procedural due process that must be afforded to a member prior to expulsion. The oath of each individual member of a House and that member's duty under it to act conscientiously for the general good is the only safeguard to the fellow members against an unjust and causeless expulsion. This is the only practical rule that can be adopted as to those unrestricted governmental powers that are necessary to exercise the governmental functions and that must be lodged somewhere. Each branch of government is necessarily vested with some power that is beyond the supervision of any other branch, and in such cases, the only protection against abuse is the conscience of the individual in whom the power is vested. Whether federal due process or equal protection considerations are applicable to an expulsion may depend on whether the member of the body has a liberty or property interest in the office held. When a House has expelled a member in the mode prescribed by the Constitution, its action is not generally considered to be a deprivation of office without due process of law within the meaning of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The sovereign power that created the office can prescribe the terms upon which it is to be held and the conditions under which it can be taken away. The provision for the disenfranchisement of a member upon conviction for crime has no effect upon the power to expel members, nor does expulsion operate as a bill of attainder in violation of state and federal constitutions. The constitutional provision that relates to expulsion of members deals only with expulsion for misconduct. A member of a state legislature may resign. The member's resignation shall be tendered to the office or body having power or order a new election and to the chief legislative officer of the respective House. And Mr. President, that is the section in Mason's that clearly describes the process for and including the due process for the body to make examinations about accusations that are brought forward, about complaints that are brought forward. And Senator Lucero's motion aligns perfectly with that section of Mason's and the respect and necessary pursuit of due process in this case. And I ask, Mr. President, for member support of Senator Lucero's motion. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate that. And I stand in support of Senator Lucero's motion. I think there's a bit of confusion on the behalf of Senator Frentz and Senator Latz on what the exact motion is. So just to be clear, there was an ethics complaint filed by the Senate Republican Caucus this morning. And what Senator Lucero's motion is simply asking is that we have immediate action through the Senate Ethics Committee on that complaint. So this brings into account all the due process Senator Mitchell is afforded, and it brings in the opportunity for her to be heard and the process played out through that. We are very committed to due process in this body. That's the purpose of this legislative body, is to make sure that the rules are followed, to make sure that we're doing the process properly. What Lucero's motion is very much in line with that belief. So we agree with Senate Democrats on what needs to happen here. We feel that that process needs to be followed, but it needs to be followed now. We need to figure out how this body is going to move forward based on the actions that this individual took. And so just to be clear, that motion absolutely affords the due process that she is entitled to.
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will admit that Senator Johnson stole my thunder. I was going to try to add some clarity to what's being debated here today, and that is the fact that Senator Lucero's motion simply says that we wish to expedite the hearing that would take place by the Ethics Committee, essentially jump-starting the due process, not violating it. But I also feel compelled, or more so inspired, to say this, Mr. President, because some pretty inspirational things were just invoked in the discussion we've had thus far. The Magna Carta, the Revolutionary War, the fact that we would be judge, jury, executioner, or an authoritarian body if a motion like this were to pass. Let's be clear. Nothing could be further from the truth. All Senator Lucero's motion is asking is that we take this complaint seriously, because I think the people of Minnesota take it very seriously, and that we preserve the integrity of the Senate by ensuring that a member has the ability to go through the process of due process, as was mentioned, but that we also bring about quick resolution behalf on the people of Minnesota so that we can continue to govern without distraction. So please do not let the hyperbole distract from what's actually at hand here and what is occurring with this motion. This is a motion that's very simple. It's asking for an ethics complaint to be expedited so that the people can get the answers they're asking for and deserve. Nothing more. Nobody's due process is trying to be violated here, and anybody that would try to convince the public otherwise is doing them a disservice. Thank you.
Senator Latz.
Mr. President, members, let's be absolutely clear. As far as I can tell, this is an unprecedented request to bypass the custom and usage of this body for the Ethics Committee to handle ethics complaints. We have an ethics complaint process in our rules. It's there for a reason, because this body has determined that the Ethics Committee is the appropriate place to evaluate ethics complaints. They have a detailed process already in place for evaluating probable cause, for determining what, if any, investigation needs to be completed, and for having a hearing with all the appropriate protections in a committee setting. It has been this body's practice to do so. So let's not let the hyperbole rule here. We should follow and abide by the historic process of this Senate and the rules of this Senate and allow the ethics process to take its ordinary course.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. And so considering what Senator Latz had said with the Senate Ethics Committee, you know, we've cleared off our schedule for today. We don't have any bills today on the floor. Our Rules Committee hearing has been canceled. President, I understand that you are chair of the Ethics Subcommittee. Could you give us a timeline on when that Senate Ethics Committee hearing will be held?
Senator Johnson, just to the question, I'm going to make sure that I refer you to Rule 55. And members, as you know, Rule 55 is the Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct. A member has to put forth a written complaint that is signed by members of the Senate under oath. So that's the first thing that it requires. Secondly, if you look at Rule 55, specifically 55.4, it says within 30 calendar days after receiving a complaint, the subcommittee must meet and either make a finding of no probable cause, vote to defer action until a certain time, or proceed with this investigation. So what is guaranteed based on the rules is that it would be done within 30 days because there are a number of steps that need to happen before a hearing takes place. But there's a reason it appears from the rule why within 30 days was put forward. And so without having any additional information, that's the process, and the process will certainly be adhered to. And any person who is identified in a complaint, a written complaint, will be given all due process and the space by which to be heard. Senator Johnson, sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I appreciate that response very much. I think one question comes to a lot of our minds then during this time. If we don't have a date certain for this Ethics Subcommittee hearing, then this body will be underneath a cloud of doubt until the end of session. Major pieces of legislation are going to be considered and passed through. And as you've seen in the past, many of these bills get passed on a 33-34 vote. And so each one of these bills coming through are going to be dependent on this individual member's vote. How can Minnesotans trust that? How can they trust that the votes coming through this body at that point with somebody who's under suspicion, under investigation, is making the deciding, determining vote going forward? That brings a real cloud and disrepute to this body if we're not able to solve that in a very timely basis. So my suggestion to you, Mr. President, is that we have that subcommittee's hearing immediately and we support the Lucero motion.
And Senator Johnson, because you asked me that question, that's the only reason why I'm reacting. I am not attempting to debate from the president's desk. But it is clear that that it is unprecedented for the Senate to move in such a way where you deny a person due process, and that's why our rules are there. Now, that doesn't mean that that it shouldn't be looked at as soon as humanly possible, because the process is once we get that complaint, there will be a notice that will go out to the members who are on the subcommittee. There's also a public notice so that everyone will know what date and time is set forward in order to have that hearing. So there is always transparency and there's always a notice there. And last but certainly not least, it is my understanding, just based on our history, is that even once a person is going through the process itself, they are able to still operate as a member because they're technically still a member under the rules. And specifically, when you think in terms of what has been read by Senator Drazkowski, which I think is an important provision that's been put forth, that was specifically rule or section 562 under Mason's. And if you go to 562.4, it states, and this is why it's consistent with our ethical, our subcommittee on ethical conduct, it says adequate notice formal charges and a public hearing with the right to cross-examine witnesses have been held to be necessary components of procedural due process that must be afforded to a member prior to expulsion. So those are just all the things that this body has articulated and has always used as a guiding point to really make sure that we protect every member of this body equally. If no other questions, Senator Jaskowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I would just remind the body, 55.4, and you talked about this section of our rules, Mr. President. It says within 30 calendar days. So it is providing a backstop for the accused to be ensured that at some point within 30 days, they're going to receive due process on the accusations against them. That's what this rule does. Mr. President, members, actually, it provides so that a complaint doesn't languish before the committee. And Senator Lucero's motion provides even speedier and more assured access to due process by someone who is a subject of a complaint. It even does a better job in due process than our Senate rules do. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Latz.
Mr. President, in further response to the inquiry, Mr. President, members, I would suggest that due process includes notice and the opportunity to be heard. That notice period has to be adequate for both parties to the proceeding to be able to prepare for that proceeding, in addition to notifying the public of their opportunity to observe. Senator Johnson's proposal would, in effect, were it to result in a prompt expulsion of a member, disenfranchise all of the voters from the Senate district that the party represents. Well, I will not, for one, agree to disenfranchise all of those voters to prevent them from having their voice through their elected representative, senator in this case, to participate in these proceedings, and in particular, because the conduct that is underlying the ethics complaint does not involve anything specific relating to the job, the work within the Senate responsibilities. It's not as if the member was engaging in Senate responsibilities while engaging in the alleged conduct. So, members, we need to have appropriate due process here. The rules do provide the backstop. Believe me, 30 days is expedited when it comes to due process. But the motion before us now would bypass that as well. Members, I still encourage a no vote on the motion.
Members, any other discussion before I go to Senator Lucero? It looks like I am now going to recognize Senator Weisenberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just believe after people have seen what's transpired over the last few days, Minnesotans are probably disheartened by what they saw, what the police report says, and what the person accused said. It's 100% different than what someone signed under perjuring themselves, which is what the police officer said. So I would trust what he said is probably factual. And I guess I would question anybody to ask themselves a question. You know, when a teacher is accused of abusing somebody, do they continue to teach until the jury comes back? They don't. We can't let that happen because we don't know what's going on. It's the same type of situation. We can't, if the trust is broken, we can't let a person continue to make laws if this person is being accused of breaking laws. So yes, we should get there. We should find out what happened, but the Minnesotans don't trust what happened, what this person did. And being a lawmaker, they don't trust that this person can continue to make laws. And I would look in your mind again and say, look, or a police officer, if something happens with them, they're put on administrative leave. It's not just a teacher thing. Anyone, when there something happens, they have to step back until it clears up. So I would vote for Senator Lucero's amendment. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the Lucero motion? Senator Nelson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. I would like to ask Senator Lucero if he would yield.
Senator Lucero, will you yield? He will certainly yield. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Lucero, I would just like some clarification on your motion before us. Does it in any way impinge or deter does it deter any type of due process? What type of due process would this motion defer or not allow, Senator Lucero?
Senator Lucero, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. The trust of the public has been violated. As such, an ethics complaint has been filed against Senator Nicole Mitchell. My motion upholds Senate rules. My motion follows due process. Mr. President, my motion would direct the Rules Committee to begin the investigation immediately versus allowing up to 30 days to begin the investigation. It is a core job duty, part of the requirements of working as an elected official and as a member of this body, the Minnesota State Senate, to have the highest ethical standards and to uphold the public trust. Again, the public trust has been violated, and we must begin the investigation immediately. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Nelson, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Lucero. So I just want the public to be clear. This has nothing to do with due process. We stand for due process. It is part and parcel of who we are and what our country is based upon. The motion before us is simply about starting the due process. It is a calendaring motion. Let's start the process. And just to make sure the public is well aware that in 30 days, the legislature will no longer be in session. We, in the next few days, we are encountering major important bills for this body. Minnesotans deserve to know and to start the process about the unprecedented first-degree burglary charge by one of these senators. It is essential that we start this process now. I encourage a yes vote.
Members, the last person we will hear from will be Senator Lucero, but I see Senator Housley.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And just so I'm clear, is there anyone else who wants to speak after Senator Housley before I go to the author of the motion? So after Senator Housley, I'll allow and recognize Senator Lucero, who is the author of the motion, and then I will reset the question just to make sure that you know exactly what it is before you vote. Senator Housley, thank you for allowing me an opportunity to explain. Senator Housley.
Thank you, Mr. President. And to Senator Latz's point, yes, it is. It is unprecedented. But what is also unprecedented is that a member of this body has been arrested for such a grave crime as first-degree burglary. That's unprecedented. So we have to take the unprecedented action to remedy this grievous action here in the Senate. And Senator Lucero's motion does just that. As senators, we are held to a higher standard of ethical conduct. And by allowing this to drag on and not start for 30 days, as Senator Nelson said, a lot of bills will be passing through this Senate body, a lot of our big bills that we worked all session on. And in not
passing Senator Lucero's motion and expediting this process, we really are violating the trust of Minnesotans that do hold us to that higher standard of ethical conduct. So I encourage a green vote on Senator Lucero's motion. Thank you.
I will now recognize Senator Lucero, who's the author of the motion. Senator Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. President. Once again, my motion follows Senate rules. My motion upholds and allows for due process. According to the criminal complaint, after being Mirandized, Senator Nicole Mitchell made the comment, quote, "I know I did something bad," unquote. We cannot allow for up to 30 days to lapse to begin an investigation. We must begin an investigation now. That is what a green vote represents. Mr. President, please vote green.
Members, just so I will reset the conversation to make sure that you're actually really clear as to what the motion says. And if I'm wrong, I can be corrected. This is what we understand the motion to say. Pursuant to Article 4, Section 7 of the Constitution of the State of Minnesota, Senator Lucero moves that the Rules Committee be compelled by the Senate to immediately initiate due process proceedings requested in the ethics complaint filed today, April 24, 2024, in accordance with Senate Rule 55, which is the ethical rule that has also timelines, and Section 562, which was read by Senator Drazkowski, of Mason's Manual of Procedure to consider expelling Senator Nicole Mitchell from the Minnesota Senate. That is the question before the body. The secretary will take the roll. Members, please vote. Senator Morrison, for those voting pursuant to Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Dietzick votes no.
Senator Dietzick votes no.
Mr. President, Senator Port votes no.
Senator Port votes no. Senator Jasinski, those voting pursuant to Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Anderson votes aye.
Senator Anderson votes aye.
Senator Coleman votes aye.
Senator Coleman votes aye.
Senator Lang votes aye.
And Senator Lang votes aye. All senators having voted who desires to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 33 ayes and 33 noes, the Lucero motion fails. Members, I'm now going back to our agenda. Members, I ended at the ninth order of business with motions and resolutions. We will adopt the author's motion as one motion. All in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senate Resolution number 94 will be referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. Members, no action is required on that. No action required. Members, I will now recognize Senator Murphy for a motion. Sorry about that. There's been a change. We are going to the 13th order of business. And members, as you recall, the 13th order of business is announcements of Senate interest. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Mitchell, any other announcements of Senate interest? Senator Marty.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance Committee will meet at 2 o'clock today.
Any other announcements of Senate interest? Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to ask a question of Leader Murphy, if she would yield.
Senator Murphy, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Murphy, we've had some last-minute changes here on the agenda for today and tomorrow, looks like through the week here. Just wondering what this week, what next week is going to look like, when we're going to start seeing the bills, kind of how things are going to be rolling out here following today's session.
Senator Murphy, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Johnson. I think that it is important for us to be in a position to conduct the work of the Senate in an orderly fashion. And given what we have experienced in the last 24 hours, I thought it was wise for us to pause to make sure that we can conduct that work.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Murphy. I think that was a wise decision to take a little bit of time and some breathing room. But one of the things that we've got to do here in the Minnesota Senate is get the work done that the people sent us here for. So there's a number of issues that are still hanging out there. The bonding bill, for one, EMS voting or EMS funding, just a number of things that we've worked on all session. And I know there is going to be some very difficult votes. There's going to be some difficulty in trying to figure out how we end this, given the circumstances right now, and especially with the cloud of the allegations that are being held over one of our members. Senate Republicans are dedicated to getting the work done. And so we invite Senate Democrats to come and work alongside us on getting these things done. One of the things I think we first need to address, though, is the Senate Ethics Committee and the complaint that's on the table in order to clear the air so we can move forward. Senator Murphy, if you would yield.
Senator Murphy, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Johnson.
Could you give me a timeline on what proper notice is then? I know the motion had failed. Could you give me a definition on the notice of what we're going to need before that Ethics Committee is going to be meeting and when that will happen so that we can get some certainty around when we can get some resolution on the issue at hand?
Senator Murphy, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you again, Senator Johnson. I learned just before we came to the floor that there has been a complaint filed with the Ethics Committee. And so for those of you wondering about timeline, that does mean that the process has begun. Our rules are very clear about the timelines and about due process. And we're going to work within those timelines, and I will consult with the chair of the Ethics Committee to begin that work. And I will let you know when I am clear about that. We do have important work to do for the people of Minnesota. As you mentioned, Senator Johnson, we do have a duly elected Minnesota Senate to do that work, Senator Johnson. And it is my intention to do that work for the people of Minnesota. We came to do that work. I understand and believe that you are committed to do that work as well. And as I have said before, the things that we do, especially in times like this, that are both heartbreaking, they're troubling, and they will test us. The actions that we take now define our leadership now and going forward. And so we will work in due haste, taking measured steps to be clear about what it is that we're doing so we can complete the work that we came here to do for the people of Minnesota in an orderly fashion, and we welcome your participation.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Leader Murphy, thank you for that answer, too. I do appreciate your forthcomingness on that. I know it's early on, so this is a question that not only I have, my caucus has, and as well as your members as well, too. And not only that, but I think more importantly, Minnesotans have that question. When will this be resolved? And so this will be an issue that we will be continuing to bring up, and hopefully we will have more clarity in the days to come here. So thank you, Senator Murphy. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other announcements of Senate interests? Any other announcements of Senate interests? Seeing none, I'm going to recognize Senator Murphy for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Thursday, April 25th at 11 a.m.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The Senate is now adjourned.